Cool.
Hi everyone, and welcome to this week's Global Intelligence Update. And as always, we've got a great guest with us. This time we've got Dave Greenberg, who is a keynote speaker and trainer who specializes in crisis management, organizational resilience, and creating high-performance teams in complex, high-stress environments. Dave brings extensive experience in these areas after completing nearly 4,000 missions across a 25-year career working on rescue helicopters in New Zealand. He was also part of the New Zealand National COVID-19 response team, using his operationals and strategic expertise to help coordinate the response to COVID-19 outbreaks. His role saw him regularly attending and briefing senior members of the government, including the Prime Minister and Cabinet. He is the author of Emergency Response, Life, Death, and Helicopters, which was published by Penguins New Zealand. Today, Dave works with organizations of all sizes and ensures they are crisis ready and able to avoid the chaos and overwhelm usually associated with a crisis. He is based in Wellington, New Zealand, but regularly travels to Australia and the United States. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. It's great to be here again. And and to everyone who'll be watching this recorded. So thanks, Chris. I couldn't have written that better myself, that intro. But we're all good. So thanks to everyone who's here. One of the things that I do with my business, I spend a lot of time in government and corporates. But my favorite people to work with usually are entrepreneurs and small business because they're very reactive and very able to react to things quickly and implement new things without too much stress when they think they're worthwhile. And I've got this interesting stat from the I'm just going to change a view here and there we go. So I see what's going wrong. Sorry. I will just make one change here. There's a quote on the there we are on the screen now about FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency in the USA. Notes that over 40% of businesses don't reopen after a disaster. And of those that do, only 29% are still operating after 2 years. So this really does underscore the severe financial toll crises can exact on small business. The numbers are staggering, and it's really something that I'm passionate about because I am a business of one. And what I've come to realize because of all the work I do is that small businesses get overwhelmed by the thought of being ready for disaster, whatever that looks like, because I'll show you a slide shortly of what it could look like. But we all have heard proper prior preparation prevents poor performance. The seven P's, I only use six of the words because mom might be listening from heaven. But we just know that being prepared is better than not being prepared. And in my life on the helicopter, we spent a lot of time preparing. So that's me sitting in the doorway of the helicopter. We were winching, rescuing a guy who's driving a truck that rolled down a cliff. And he ended up at the bottom of the cliff, in this ravine, and we ended up rescuing him. But I really want to show you is the highlighted bits in the red. And for a bunch of people who didn't expect to crash, we were always prepared for the worst. If you look at what I'm wearing there, I've got a helmet for head protection and a mouthpiece and earpieces for good communication with the rest of the crew. I've got flameproof suit. I've got good steel cap boots. I'm wearing a survival vest, which doubles as a life jacket. There's just from head to toe, I'm well prepared. And yet I never expected to crash. And one of the things we did regularly is something called HUET, Helicopter Underwater Escape Training. And this is where, in a swimming pool, you get put in a mock helicopter and you get dropped in the water and then turned upside down, and you have to escape it. And the reason we had to do this training was that in the unlikely event we crashed in the water, we wanted a bit of muscle memory. We didn't want to be facing something for the first time. Now, I'm lucky to say that after 4,000 missions in 25 years, I was involved in some emergencies, but I was never involved in a crash. But some of my mates down south, on this South Island, were flying well south of New Zealand to the Auckland Islands. And in the picture there, you could see the helicopter upside down in shallow water. They were approaching the island and they crashed. And one of the guys became unconscious and trapped in the back of the helicopter. And the other two were able to get themselves out and then were able to go back and save the one who was trapped. So when people wonder why I went through so much training, it's so that if I ever faced this kind of thing, I was ready. Now, I am not suggesting that any of you go and do EWA training. And I'm not suggesting that when you start thinking about being prepared, that you need a suite of manuals that looks like this. If you go into any corporate office, you will find shelves of binders, and the plans for planning for emergencies are emergency plans and business continuity plans and crisis management plans and incident management plans, and there are just plans galore. And the truth is that for us as small businesses or sole entrepreneurs, we don't need all of that. We need the important bits and pieces of some of those manuals in order to be prepared for the stuff that we might come across. So right now, I'm going to give you four essentials. The first one is we need to understand our risks. We need to create a risk matrix. And a lot of you over time have probably seen diagrams that look something like this. It's a common risk matrix where you talk about what the risks are and then you rate them. And are they insignificant, minor, major? And then you come out with a score. And the score could be anything from low to very high. And at the end of this session, I'm going to give you a link so that you could create your own risk matrix. Actually, what I might do is just jump over to it. Can you all see read the spreadsheet that's there? Is it too fuzzy where you are? Okay. So what I did is I looked at my own business. And apologies that it's not better for you. I'll change the view. But I looked at my own business and said, what are the risks that I face? And what so for me, I have business risks like a change in government that we're going through in New Zealand. We've had a new government for about 6 months, and everyone's been walking around and talking about the economy and the government and how bad things are. But when I looked at it, I said the severity was minor and the likelihood was unlikely. And my mitigations that I have in place of, I diversify. I'm not just in government, I'm in private. So that ends up with the low. But if we look at some of the other ones that end up at very high, if my MacBook was stolen, lost, or failed, that's a major problem for me. And the likelihood of it's really possible, I've had it happen. So that ends up as a very high risk. And then one of the things I have to mitigate that is I have really good backups. So I know that if I lost my Mac. I could go buy a new one and be up and running in a matter of hours. And then when we look at some of the other high ones, a major sickness accident affects my ability to speak. So I can't go and earn my income. Now, for most of us that are small business and our own business, us getting incapacitated in any way, shape, or form is going to be hugely unfortunate and bad for the business and bad for us. So I've got the mitigations or life, health, and income protection insurance. So I've got all sorts of things in place. I also make sure that my contracts that I do with companies for presenting have a clause about if I can't show up, that they're not going to try to bankrupt me if I'll try to find a replacement speaker or do it via Zoom or anything I can, but sometimes we're going to have things that we can't get around. And then the other one I really want to point out, and I would be willing to bet that some or all of you are guilty of this, is a privacy breach of passwords. There isn't a day that goes by where we're not reading about password breaches, privacy breaches, and the effect that your password has on your business. If your password got out and you use the same password in other places, is unbelievably high. And yet so many people go through Michael McIntyre, the comedian. I just watched a bit the other day about passwords, and he said, we all started with our dog's name. And then when they said we had to include a number, then we put our dog's name with number one. And then they said we had to capitalize, so we capitalized our dog's name with number one. And we keep reusing these really simple passwords. So for me, my three very highs are MacBook stolen, getting sick, and the privacy breach of my passwords. What this password will do for you, or this spreadsheet, is you could put in a can someone give me an idea of a risk that you face in your own business? Cybersecurity, cool. I think I already have that. So, but we'll do a new one. I just want to show you. So, if you put cybersecurity, and what is the severity? Would you rate the severity if it did happen, if you did have a cyber attack? Very high. Cool. Thank you. So, we'll call that major. And the likelihood, whether it's this is a drop-down box, is it rare, unlikely, possible, likely, or almost certain? Possible. Cool. So when we put those in, you'll see that it comes up with a rating of a high. So what you'll be able to do is take this spreadsheet as I've done it for myself and modify it for your own things. But if we don't understand what risks we have, then we can't fix them and we can't do anything to mitigate them. So I'll come back to my PowerPoint. And the next slide is just simply one where we're looking at the second of the four essentials is to use a password manager to and create a password, a different one for every site. Out of curiosity, how many of you do use password managers? One hand. Cool. For the rest of you, be like my partner. We spent a couple of days this summer getting all of her emails off of her working her employer's email address. I said, "What if you got made redundant next week?" And all of her stuff goes to work. So she set up a Gmail account and a password manager. And I don't think she uses any of it, but she's not going to watch this, so she won't know I said that. But the tools are there. Then the next thing we want to do is you want to have good backups of your phone, your tablet, and your PC. As I mentioned, I have tested this, unfortunately, where my Mac stopped working, and 3 hours later, I had a new Mac and the downloads from the cloud, and my new Mac looked exactly like my old Mac. And I think this is just so easy and something that everyone does. And it turns out that a lot of people don't do it. And I really would recommend that have backups. I know last night I had to ask partner her phone number. We were filling out a form. And I can't believe it, but I honestly don't know her phone number by heart because we're so used to just everything in our phones that we just hit the button and it dials it. And yet, if I lost my phone and I didn't have a good backup, I lose everything. I lose my business basically because I don't have all the numbers and emails of people I contact. Then the next thing that you want to make sure you do is you have a plan based on your risk mitigation, the risk matrix you set up. When you set up a password manager, you now have one password that you have to remember because all the other passwords are stored in there. The real trick to this one, though, different software has different ways to recover it. But I have one trusted person who's my best mate who I trust with everything, and he's got the password to my password manager. So if I got killed in a car crash or hit by a bus tomorrow, he could get to everything. He could get to my bank accounts, he could get to my insurance, he could get everywhere, but I trust that that's okay. And if I ever stop trusting them, or I wanted someone else to have that password, I only have to change one password and give that password, say, to my partner. Now, some of my friends would trust anyone but their partner with the password. I am not going to judge you on who you give the password to, but I just really do highly recommend that you've got that. The other thing you really need to be well protected for your business and personal is pictures and PDFs of all your important documents that are password protected on your phone. When I travel, I've got photos of all my credit cards. I've got Apple Pay also, but I've got photos of my credit cards, photos of my passport, photos of my driver's license, so that if I lost everything or I got robbed, between my iPhone, my iPad, and a Mac, I still have proof of everything that's important to me. I also have like seven different backups of all my photos, but that's another story. Really important thing to have also is a printed emergency contact list. And this goes back to you lose your phone. And you might even be able to recover it in 2 or 3 hours. It would be really useful to have your most important phone numbers printed somewhere where you could get to them easily if you need to start calling people to do stuff. When I was working at the ministry with the COVID response, we had everything digitized, everything. But we also had a printed notebook that had all the important information that we needed. So if the internet went down, power went out, whatever, we still had all the most important information available in a printed form. And that's really essential if you're going to recover from disasters or things that go wrong. And then the other thing that we'll look at in a little bit more detail shortly is a family and a workplace plan of what to do in an emergency, where to meet, who to contact, and things like that. So just to When I give you the link, you're going to be able to download this mind map. I used this in my first presentation a few in 2020, I think, with the Circle of the Global Intelligence Group. But this mind map is something I've been using in my teaching for years. And in the lower right-hand corner of the mind map, it shows the essential things you need in your kits. And these are your kits, whether they're a home kit, a getaway kit, your travel kit, and none of them are numbered. Like they all have priority number one on them. Because I don't know any of your lives and what's important to you. What I do know, well, I'll ask the question. So in there, we've got food, water, clothing, warmth and shelter. Medication and first aid, communication, lighting, safety gear. So that would be things like shovels. We've got hygiene, something like a toothbrush. And then we've got emergency lighting, a torch or a flashlight, depending on where you are. And out of those, which one would people pick as the most important one that they would have in their own kit? I could wait longer than you can, but since this isn't a test, I'm not allowed to. But a lot of people pick food or water as their top two. And for me, what I would say is if I can only pick one, if I had any medication I had to take that I needed to live, I would always have a 3-day supply of it, not in my desk, not in my medicine cabinet, but I would have a small pill bottle with the pills I needed to live. So if I was on a heart medication, I would always carry a 3-day supply of it in my pocket because if there is a big earthquake, Wellington's an earthquake-prone city, and I was separated from my medication, it could kill me. I know that we could go days and days, if not weeks, without food. Water is quite important. But if it wasn't medication, the top priority for me would be warmth and shelter. Some kind of the emergency, like tinfoil blankets, something like that, or some good warmth. And the reason is, and I've seen this on many rescues in the bush. We could go for a long time without food and water, but if we get hypothermia, we're going to die. If we don't reverse the hypothermia, it's not going to take too long before we die. So we need to just look at the things that are important to us. If you've got pets, you need pet food. If you have kids, you better have some form of entertainment. The other thing that's hugely important these days is power supplies for our phones. So the I've got, like all of you, I've got a phone and I've got my iPads. I am nuts about power supplies. On my shelf, I just grabbed the first one I found. This particular power supply will do my iPhone 12 times. It will just keep on recharging it. I've got a whole bunch of these. I keep one in my car, keep one on the boat. The reason I'm so big on worrying about power is we are so reliant on our phones and on our devices. When I responded back in 2011, there were the big earthquakes down in Christchurch in Canterbury, and I was on the rescue helicopter responding down there. And one of our priorities, once people were saved, was delivering fuel to the generators that were keeping the cell phone towers going. Because keeping the cell phone network going so people could text and communicate is so important. But none of that counts if your own phone isn't charged up and ready to go. So the mind map, you'll be able to download that. It's a useful thing to have so that you're able to be prepared, physically prepared for different emergencies. The going along the so the four essentials: create your risk matrix, use a password manager, back up your devices, and have a home office and travel emergency kit. One thing that's really good to remember, when I work with government agencies, and I make this joke with the police, that their bulletproof vest was usually made by the cheapest provider. And when you're in business, there's a real tug of war between the operational teams and the C-suite about spending money. Thanks, Andrea. On the helicopter, I was operations manager for 12 years, 14 years, and I was often having arguments with my CE. He backed us 100%. Like, if I said this is what we needed, he would do it and we would find the money. But he would often question it. He was just being a good CE and saying, well, those two carabiners look the same. Why would you choose that carabiner over this one? And the answer was usually, well, I'm the one who's got to hang off the helicopter and I want the best available carabiner. Like, you can't skimp on some things. Which photocopy paper you use, yeah, it makes a difference, but no one's going to live or die by it. Which website provider you use might make a huge difference. If your business is dependent on having a website that's up, then going for the one of the cheap providers might not be the best use of your money. So I am far from paranoid about things going wrong, but I am very, very aware of when I'm purchasing things or creating standard operating procedures that I think about worst case scenarios and I plan for them. And that is really based on a lifetime of being on the rescue helicopter and being in the emergency services. I just want to share one other quick story because that's really the information I've got. And then we'll do Q&A if anyone's got any. But in the corporate world, we often talk about essential skills or soft skills. Have people heard of those? In aviation, we call it CRM, Crew Resource Management. And I believe that the CRM or essential skills, there's nothing soft about them, are the magic behind any high-performing team. And it's the way we think critically, it's the way we communicate, it's about our procedures, it's about workload management. But when we were flying, if I saw wires, I wouldn't just casually say to the pilot, oh, do you see the wires? Because I could be looking at wires off to the left, and the pilot says, yep, I see them, and then flies directly into the wires that I see. Because the problem is, I see wires on the left. When I say, do you see the wires? The pilot says, yes, and they're looking at pilots on the right. So we have very specific terminology around it. If I saw wires, it would be wires 10 o'clock high. That meant that the pilot would turn their attention and physically look at the wires that I could see. At that point, they'd also share that they had wires at 2 o'clock. And now we both went from good situational awareness to a common operating picture. One of the things you need to do if you've got more than one person in your business or more than one person in your life is not only have good situational awareness, but you need a good common operating picture. You not only need to know what's going on, but you need to make sure that everyone else has the same understanding of what's going on. I could promise you that that is one of the things that kept me alive during my career. So, to just recap one more time, we've got the going back to this, understand your risk, download the risk matrix and fill it out. I highly recommend getting a password manager and using a different password for every site. It takes a little while to catch it all up, but it's worth it. Have good backups and have a good emergency kit at home, in the office, and in your travel kit. And those are really my main takeaways. I will, if you go to my website, davegreenberg.co, and then slash COE, so davegreenberg.co/COE, you'll get a page that has these two red boxes in the middle. One of them, you click to download the risk matrix file. I promise there's no bugs in it. And the other one, you click to get the PDF of the preparedness map. And those you might find as useful resources. Thanks, Chris. I was just about to do that. So that's what I've got. And now I'm happy to take any questions if anyone's got any.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you for sharing. We've got a question here from Andrea. I wonder if that was the case from Christchurch earthquake. So right in the beginning of your presentation, you threw
Sorry. Yeah.
that.
So Andrea, what was that?
Yeah, hi Dave. That was just when you were talking about, you used a statistic there about the number of
Oh.
businesses that resuscitated and then how many actually survived 2 years. And I was just wondering if that was the sort of the same kind of statistics for what happened to the Christchurch earthquakes.
I don't know for sure what the statistics were, but I know a lot of businesses did go under. And then, like you in New Zealand, we have our share of natural disasters. Last year, well, now 2 years ago, we had big flooding, then a cyclone in Auckland and in the east coast of New Zealand. And a lot of businesses I know never did recover from that. And I
Wow.
see that, yep, on the Gold Coast, you do get severe storms. And in 2019, the end of 2019, I worked on a firefighting helicopter in New South Wales. I was doing 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off for a while. And they went from huge bushfires to huge mud because of the rain in a matter of days. And then we went into the pandemic. So it was, a rough
Wow.
time, well, for the whole world. So things do change quickly. Also, if you look at what's going on, some of you probably aware of New Caledonia in the Pacific going through big riots. In Iran at the moment, there's a lot of unrest. In the States, there's certainly unrest. Like, I could go on to Twitter right now and we could find 50 examples of things going wrong somewhere in the world that could have an effect on you. So I am not a scaremonger. I'm not trying to sell you my magic formula to be safe. I'm just really encourage small businesses to think about it and think about it more than you ever have and take appropriate actions. And I will say, if anyone's got any questions, you can, my contact details are on the on that page. And I'd love a LinkedIn connect or just an email, and I'd be able to help.
Awesome. That's very nice. And thank you for sharing, Dave. Really makes you think on if we are really prepared for the risks and dangers that are ahead, but not a scaremonger.
No, I tried not to be. So my one of the things I do, my motto is basically to try to face crises differently. It is really about just not being overwhelmed by them, but being ready for them. So that's me. If no one's got any questions, I thank you for your time. I hope you found it worthwhile.
Well, definitely. Really, really glad to have you on here, Dave. And we really appreciate the time of you being here. So, yeah, like Dave said, if there's no one that's got any questions, you can unmute yourself if you want to do a quick question now or just pop it in the chat. Otherwise, we got to say thank you and leave you. Andrea, did you unmute?
Oh, I was just going to say thanks, Dave. Very timely reminder of it, whether it's a personal emergency or a business emergency. One thing we can always guarantee is there's always an emergency.
There is. And drop me an email or something, Andrew. And when I'm in Brisbane in a few weeks, I'll try to catch
I'd
up.
love to.
Okay, cool.
I've just sent you a LinkedIn request.
Perfect. Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Have a good day or night wherever you are.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining in. If you're live
Thanks,
or
Dave.
offline, have a great week ahead and see you guys next week. Thanks
Thanks
again,
for
Dave.
organizing, Chris.
Bye,
Cheers.
everyone.